with certified financial planner Dave Petzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petzo.
Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. I'm Dave Petzo. Every week I go in and visit with Kevin Miller and have an absolute blast. We're going to go ahead and replay that. It's about 30 minutes every Monday. We'd like to hear your feedback if you enjoy it. If not, let us know. And I'll be talking to you live in about 30 minutes.
All right. Kevin Miller in the morning at 580KIDO. Blessed to be a part of your day. Our great friend Dave Petzo joining us here. Dave, good to have you with us once again.
It's always great to be with you, Kevin.
So let's go over what happened last week. Donald Trump talked about bringing jobs back. Donald Trump talked about the Chinese. Mm-hmm. It's almost like he got some talking points from our discussions about the Chinese. And making America great again. Your thoughts from a fiscal perspective?
I thought it was a very good speech. I know that people think it was dark, but some people, I think people that were opposed to him in the first place. But I thought it was a very well-done, well-crafted speech. I thought he lined out all the problems that were there and also outlined some possibilities going forward. Not details that everybody wants to clamor for, but we all probably didn't need to sit there another hour and a half until past midnight our time, or let's say, 2 a.m. East Coast time. We would have lost everybody. So I think that'll be laid out over time. I thought it was I thought he looked presidential, to be frank. I thought he really looked in control. I thought it was great, and I thought his daughter did a phenomenal job, low-key, but very pro-women, trying to bring in that part of the tent, if you will. I thought it was well-crafted. It brought in a lot of different groups asking for Democrats, et cetera. But from a fiscal perspective, Kevin, again, I think the choice is clear. D.C. is in the way. We want to go either with Hillary with 4 more years of more and more and more regulation, or we want to try to break the back of that regulation that is breaking the back of small business. And I think Trump could be the change agent to do that.
580KIDO, our great friend Dave Petzo from the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial, as we move along. Now, before we get to some other big issues, and I do want to follow up because, everybody wants details, but, that's, I think, just so they can, take shots at them and say, oh, well, this won't work. But you're going to love this. In Japan, there's a new service, an online service called To Rent an Osen, which is a man between the ages of 45 and 55 for $10 an hour. And basically, they sit and listen for an hour.
Wow.
I don't know if that'll be coming here anytime soon, but
wow.
You can rent a man to listen.
To listen to you. Okay. Well, Kevin,
I think primarily that would be for women. I don't know if men would do that, but you never know.
Yeah, but I think so if we think about that with your audience, Kevin, you start multiplying that out because that's what people are doing. They're this,
Sure.
That's going to be very expensive for you, I'm afraid.
yes, don't give the contributors any ideas that they should get paid for that. But anyway, so some other issues that I want to talk about, and I didn't get to them last week. And this is what happens in maybe not a legacy business, but a startup business. Two big companies, the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, sold recently $4 billion. And the people that were responsible when it was losing money, they bought it for $2 million, but people forget that they were about $40 million in the hole before they started churning their way out. But the owners are moving on. They'll have a minority stake, and Dana White will still be there. But, what does that happen when there's a change in ownership? What does that really mean, whether it's the UFC or another business?
Well, that's a great question, and congratulations to them. That's really the American dream right there. I mean, this is a – I'm not a UFC guy, but I just admire –
Really? I pictured you in the octagon several times with
really?
John Jones or somebody.
Yeah, don't I look like it? Yeah. 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 Well, I don't think anybody's going to see me there, but I don't watch it. I just am not that kind of – that's not my entertainment. But at the same time – watching this grow has been phenomenal, and that's what small business is. It's what the entrepreneurs are about, is to take something, take a huge risk. Or do you realize we wouldn't even have this, right? If these people hadn't done this and put $40 million more into it, it wouldn't exist. And there are a lot of people that spend a lot of time, and also obviously the gyms around the country now that are popping up everywhere. It's a neat thing, Kevin. It really is. As far as changes go, you know, it's hard to say with new leadership coming in. Are they trying to change things drastically? Are they wanting to take it to another level? What is it exactly that they're going to be changing? So you have different dynamics in businesses. If a business is being bought out, then maybe we don't want to change things. It's successful. We don't want to change a lot. We're just going to bring in some more money, and we think the company's going to grow, and this gives a chance to have further support from leadership, except and you know not having just the same people in there. A few new ideas, a few twists and turns. Most of the time when you're talking about this kind of a merger, that's what you get. This is not a business that's in trouble. The other side of it is when businesses are in trouble and they come in. You know, you and I have talked about some of the radio business, and they come in and try to make drastic changes, right? It's like, we got to get new on-air personalities. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to change that. When companies are in trouble, it's a completely different ballgame than a company that's doing well, and now we're just changing ownership hands. So I don't think you'll see a lot of drastic changes.
You know, but on the radio business, there was a company called, it's owned by the Beasley family, Beasley Broadcasting, primarily out of North Carolina. They just bought Greater Media. And when you buy these companies, are there covenants that lenders have on these loans that you're going to make cuts? Is that common in business? You know, when people are acquiring, you know, whether it's hundreds of millions of dollars involved, mm-hmm. when we're talking about loans.
Yeah, exactly. No, there absolutely are going to be covenants. If you're talking about borrowing money from a new source, they are going to have covenants that say you're going to have to do this, this, and this, and if you don't, then we're going to call the note right then. Or there's interest penalties. Those kinds of things are in every kind of loan. If you think about a covenant, a simple covenant would be something like on your own mortgage, right? If you don't make your payment, here's what happens, right? There's a penalty. You'll have a late payment.
Now, wait a minute.
You
got about 3 or 4 years before anything happens these days.
Well, you can't be kicked out, but you're certainly going to see some penalty,
right?
Interest penalties, things like that. You're right. It does take a long time to kick people out.
580KIDO. So with Dave Petzo. Now, let me hit you with another one here, and this is Fox News. 20 years.
Yep.
Roger Ailes gets the boot. Now, people say that he hugged people the wrong way, and again, I've been talking about this all week. I don't understand. I really don't, because you have these powerful women that unsolicited praised Roger Stone or Roger Ailes.
Yep.
And then they, when their show is canceled, they allege that he was asking them out, this, that, and the other. Megyn Kelly, who owes her career to this man, you know, hired an attorney apparently for his unwanted sexual advances, and yet again, unsolicited, she praised him in his handling of the Donald Trump scenario. So I don't understand the workplace rules.
Right.
If Ailes was doing this, why did they put up with it? And if he wasn't doing this, he got run based on the Murdoch boys not liking him.
Right, right, right. Well, you know what? The owners are entitled to have whoever they want to be working for them. But obviously, he changed news. He changed news. When he was at NBC, I believe it was where he was.
He's the guy that founded CNBC.
And then turned right around and did amazing things at Fox. So Fox exists. The Murdochs made hundreds of millions, billions of dollars, probably because of his vision. But they also, in fairness to them, they took a big risk. They took a big risk in creating all this. So I think he's obviously a genius. He's 77 years old. It's not like he's going to be around forever. It's not like there's a other management or lack of management team in there. I don't think Fox is going to change, and maybe it was time. I don't know. And Kevin, there seems to be a little bit of smoke around that. So I think instead of a big controversy, I think he did the right thing to just walk away.
Well, $40 million, but, you know, it's still not going to be the same because the major talent, and as we've talked about today, content is currency.
Yes.
They have it in their deals. Bill O'Reilly, Greta Van Susteren, Sean Hannity, they all have it in their deals. If Roger goes, they can opt out. Now, I'm sure he's going to be paid to 2018. He's going to be 78. However, those people love what they do. So What would be the impact if those guys left?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think it would be they are part of – let's take that to a local level, right? Think of Channel 7 and how dominant they are in this market, right? And then all of a sudden you say how
all
well
of a sudden
are they,
Carol and Holly leaves.
But they all leave. Two or three of the main, you know, main actors,
so
if you will.
So for argument's sake, it would be, let's just say, Dee Sartin, Mark, and Maggie.
Right. They're out. And then, you know, that would be a, to me, it's a big change. This is an opportunity then for their competitors to step in. Because right now they don't have the opportunity, right? They're because they've got this thing locked down. We love going to the TV, seeing people we like, that we're comfortable with, delivering the news. We don't want to see fresh faces all the time. It takes forever to build a O'Reilly type
Equity,
of legacy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you just pop in and go, man, that guy's way better than O'Reilly, and I'm stuck here. It's not going to happen that way. People are, even if they are better, it takes time to build that audience. Kevin, you know that way better than I do. You pop in from Pittsburgh, you come here, and then all of a sudden you are walking into, who the heck is this guy? And I don't like him. He's not John. He's not Chris. He's not that, right?
Right.
So it takes time to win people over. So it's a big deal. It's a very big deal.
Well, and we're seeing this play out. And imagine being one of the staffers at Fox during the Republican convention, because I saw it breaking on other channels, and I went to them, and they were, you know, many of them, even Chris Wallace was crying.
Yeah, yeah.
We forget that it is a business.
Right. It is, and it's a business. But you think about that, Kevin, about the people that you work closely with, the people you admire, and when they're gone, it is very, very emotional. It can be extremely emotional when people change careers, leave, retire, whatever. It is a big, big deal.
And you know, they get the money and move on, or they get the boot. So let's talk a little bit about our friend Tesla. Not a good week for him.
No, it's not. He still gets a pass all the time. I just don't understand it. It's not. Well, this is my vision. Oh, yeah. And, well, you told us your vision a year ago was a million cars, and you don't do that. So why do I believe that? Well, because it's Elon Musk, and that's what I want to believe. I believe it's going to be great. I believe he'll build a flying car. I believe he'll do millions of these. And then the average guy can just hop in a car and go all over the place, and
like
we're going to make
Jetsons.
Billions.
Right.
Right. And it is one of those things with Tesla that Elon Musk, because of who he is, he gets a total pass. It's really weird. No other company, I cannot imagine any other company. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. Steve Jobs didn't get a pass like this.
No.
Not even close. He was always talking, oh, what do you mean about the little thing, this little music thing? Remember the iPod? That's where he turned it around, was the iPod. It was really nobody's going to like that. Nobody likes that. And they hated their computers. It just went on and on. So Steve Jobs, a great visionary, unbelievable visionary, has to go out and prove it quarter after quarter after quarter, year after year, before people go, you know, I think he's onto something here. Not Elon Musk. He misses quarter after quarter after quarter and gets a pass.
Well, here's the other thing that I'd like to know at 580KIDO. The idea of Jobs being the first disruptor. Now everybody's talking about it, but the disruptor. I mean, do you think that Jobs was the first?
No, not at all. Henry Ford was a disruptor, right? All great innovations are disrupting. They all are. I mean, even the invention of the automobile was disrupting to industry. You just go down the line. Everything that we created that is better disrupts what is the status quo. This is one of the reasons that as we look at politics, this is clear to me in this presidential election, right? It's a very clear choice. It's not a question of the reality TV blowhard versus the criminal. It's way more than that. This is the disruptor. Or do we want status quo? It's simple. It's easy. It's straightforward. And that to me is what happens every time when we have disruption or change. Then he's not even close to the first.
Coming up next, more of Dave Pezzo, Kevin Miller on Idaho's Talk Station, 580KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's Talk Station, 580KIDO. With Dave Pezzo on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO.
WKIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Our great friend Dave Petzl with us as we continue to talk all things money. I've kind of bogarted the first segment here at 580KIDO. So what's on your mind as far as money? What should we be looking out for as we wind down July and to get ready for August?
Kevin, it still is. I know we talk about it a lot during every quarter when it's earnings season, but that's exactly what's going on. And it's been going better than expected, and that's one of the reasons the market stayed positive, and it has. It's been doing a lot better than the corporations have been doing a lot better. And you think about that, and we just went through Brexit, too, which was theoretically, and I realize this is a lot of the liberal press, that, you know, because it's a disaster when we're not moving towards a one-world order that people would actually want some personal freedom and personal decisions. So for them, everything was doom and gloom. And it isn't going to go without a hiccup, but the corporations are literally, they're not pulling punches. They're saying the rest of the year looks good to us. They're not saying, you know, we're a little concerned about the slowdown because of Brexit. They're just, because of these forward-looking statements being more positive, it's actually been a pretty good driver for the market. But frankly, we just go up every day. You know, you can't do that every day. You're not allowed to do that. We need to pull back and things like that. And it just seems like the market doesn't want to let anybody in. And so that's been very, very strong. But I would look for more of a sideways action, and it would, to me, be extremely strong in here.
So locally, what's going on?
Locally, Micron, of course, with the layoffs, right? You know, and that's not good for the local economy, of course. It's terrible for those personal households. And again, though, Kevin, it's something that is in every industry. Every company cuts from time to time. People need to be prepared financially. They need to have a backup. And these are lessons that are in front of us every day. And but of course, for these families, it's a devastating blow. And that's but the company itself is doing well.
Well, you know, but the idea of a backup. I mean, what is a backup these days? I'm not trying to be cute or anything, but I mean, I think a lot of people are saying, okay, well, I have some money put aside or this, that, and the other. I can tap into some stuff here. But I mean, really, it can be intimidating, especially if you're at Micron, Dave, as you pointed out in the past, because, I mean, this is a highly specialized field.
Yep.
That, you know, the skills don't transfer.
That's correct. That's why. That's exactly right. And so when you're looking at that, it's not just having a few bucks aside. If you are reaching out there and you're getting nearer and you're getting older and older, and you're in an industry that is constantly evolving and changing, if you do not have money set aside that you can pay your bills for several years, and you've like reached
several
age,
several
40
years.
Or 50 years old, sure. And I'm going to tell you, the 401k is off limits. But there's two points to this, Kevin. One is that in order to save money, you have to live on less than you're making. So let's take this. Let's say a guy's making $100,000 at Micron, okay? And those skills are not going to transfer, but we don't want to chase around the country and try to find another $100,000 job. I want to stay in Boise. Then go ahead and live on less so that if you have to take a job that pays 50 or 60, you have alternatives that you're not underwater, and you lose the car, you lose the house, and because you have no money in the bank. It causes you to save more because you spend less, and then also having that reserve allows you to get through periods if, for example, you want to be in charge of your own destiny. Being an entrepreneur, you want to go out and do something on your own. You have the starting capital. And starting capital is two things. It doesn't just mean I can now put $100,000 into equipment that I need. It also means, Kevin, that you have time to build up, if there isn't a big capital equipment cost up front, you have time, because you're not going to make money out of the chute. So you have time to get that up and going. So it's personal freedom. That's why it's so important on two fronts. You may hate your job and maybe not get laid off, but if you're always having to just go to work and live for the weekends, that's no way to live.
Dave Petzl with us here at 580KIDO. Now, what do you make of the Pokemon craze?
It's crazy. Okay,
It's classic Dave Petzl. It is classic Dave Petzl when we're talking about Amazon and Apple and everything else. This is something that just appears on your phone.
Yes. I think it's interesting because this reality or virtual reality is coming fast. It's going to be a huge industry. Do I think people are going to walk around with their faces on their cell phones all the time? I don't. I don't think
I see it.
I think it's going to be. I know. I did too.
People are getting into accidents because Look, the other day, last week, you had somebody during a news conference at the State Department not paying attention because they're playing the Pokemon, and the guy called him out on it. And then the guy goes, yeah, the guy goes, well, did you find a Pokey? No wonder we can't Holy control God. ISIS. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I know. We got the State Department playing Pokemon instead of looking for ISIS. Is
right.
That, yeah, maybe they need to create a game where the ISIS guy pops up, right?
For real.
Yeah. And then it'd be nice if you just touch it and you extinguish it. But, you know, it is. I saw this a week ago when I was visiting my granddaughter, and we were walking around Green Lake in Seattle, right? And so you see these people, literally groups, walking because they get near water. I had to learn how to learn what this was. As you know, I didn't know anything about it. And so these people are walking near water because there's like water creatures, and there's whole groups of them. So there's two aspects. One, is this really what isn't this crazy? Who walks around? So we're becoming more antisocial. And on the other hand, there's all these stories of people getting out of their house, and they weren't before. So it's just like everything in the world. There's good and bad.
580 KIDO. We continue on. Dave Pezzo with us, talking about money. And you believe that virtual reality, obviously, is the way to go these days.
Well, there's lots of different ways to go, including you can go buy soap and things like that in great corporations. There's no doubt. That's what a diversified portfolio is about. But as far as breakthrough technology, you're darn right. This virtual reality is real. Artificial intelligence, it's real. It's coming. It's fast approaching, and you should have a few bucks in front of that in companies like Google, Apple, that are out in front of these things. And the ones that we don't even know, like Pokemon. I mean, seriously, who would have thought that? That was crazy.
Nintendo stock through the roof.
Yep.
Let's talk about a sad case. You've been to Hastings, right?
The store, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Last week we disclosed Hastings going out of business.
Yeah.
Bought by some guy that decided instead of keeping the company going, boom, going to be done by October. Lots of great deals right now, but the postmortem on Hastings, what went wrong?
Technology, and just like every retailer out there, it's incredibly hard. Think of how difficult it is for Macy's right now, which is the department store, right? And it's been very difficult for them to get to compete against Amazon, and they're way behind. You think about that with Walmart, who was way behind Amazon, is now catching up. They're doing better. So you see this ebb and flow all the time. It's just very difficult. But what is the attraction to Hastings that I can't have delivered to my door?
Well, I think what it comes down to, and
I think it's Netflix, to be honest with you.
Well, I think Netflix. I also think, you know, the books and such, and maybe they just had too many in one area. But what gets me, and I think one of the appeals of Amazon, is that the service is great. And I'm not talking about Hastings. I was in a Walmart. I actually went to 5 stores last week looking for a digital camera. Not a high-speed digital camera, but just one that I could use. Went to Target. I went to 3 or 4 other places. They couldn't sell them to me when I could find someone because they were display models. And then at Walmart, I had to get a manager because they wouldn't let me open a package because then they'd have to discount it. And the guy goes, "What?" And I said, "Look, I've been here 30 minutes and this bill over there has just been looking at me. Well, our photo guy left at 9. Hey, when I press the button on Amazon, they're always there."
Yep.
And I do believe that the retail game, and you see a lot of people do it really, really well, but you've got to step up. You've got to be better than Amazon. You've got to buy the expertise. I went to a place the other day, and we won't say where it is, local company. I really wanted to support them. And, you know, I didn't get I talked to the guy for about an hour. I didn't get the differentiation enough to justify the markup to purchase something there as opposed to just going online.
Yep. You know, you do. You see people that get it right, though. You know,
right.
In local, you do. And I don't. This is one that pops in my head because people go buy tennis shoes, right? You buy tennis shoes. Think about how long Shoes Running Company has been in town. Forever.
Right.
Right. Why? And they charge more than I can, and I have to go there.
He's a crazy man that runs all the time and wants us to all run. That's why.
And he hires people that love that, and they want you to have, and they're knowledgeable.
Sure.
They put you on a machine. Right. What I'm saying is they get you in the right shoe, and that is worth an extra $5 a pair. It is. It is apparently to the people around because they continue to support them, even though you're going to pay more for shoes there, and you know you are.
Or is opposed to another place I went, and I said, hey, I need this. And they go, oh, we don't have it.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't want to order it or anything, and I'm like, woof.
No.
Anyway, what should we be looking out for this week?
This week, again, it's a heart of earnings season, and so you'll see individual companies that move around greatly. I think we're going to see probably continued, if you will, sideways action in the market because it is really we've really come ripping back since Brexit. It's time for a little rest.
You're always ripping.
Thank you.
You're ripping. Exactly.
Keep up the pace.
When you're not in the octagon. Dave Pezzo, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, Money Matters every Saturday right here at 580 KIDO. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're listening to Kevin Miller on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's Talk Station. Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
Hello and welcome, and thanks for joining us. Yes, we are live, and the number is 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO. You know, I did a little bit of a walkabout this week. Yeah, you know, American version, right? I got in the car. I stayed in a hotel. It wasn't the Outback, anything like that. But I took off to the wilderness area, right up on the main salmon. That's where I started to try to decompress a little bit. Because there are no cell phones, you know, it's like my office will tell me, don't call in and things like that and just take some time. But you can't help it. You know, you're kind of plugged in. You need to know what's going on in the world. You feel you do. But it's interesting when you do that and you go and then I went up from there. I went clear up into Glacier and came back through the heart of Idaho. Amazing, beautiful scenery. And it's just amazing to me when I stop and I think about that. Think about the opportunity to just get in a car, drive a couple hours into really a very peaceful area. Maybe, you go to a hike. You don't have to be a big backpacker when we live in Idaho to get away. And it was amazing to me how you just kind of like, I wonder why I don't do this more often, you know? Because it's been decades since I've been to Glacier Park, but apparently I was there with everybody else because it was really busy. It's a really busy place considering it's not on the main road to anywhere, right? It's a very, very busy place. I guess all the national parks are nowadays. It's different than when we grew up as kids, for sure. But what a great week, really interesting. Met some great people from all over the country, actually. And it's so funny coming into the station today because it really reminded me of my initial start, which basically I saw these people up at the Poly Bemis, which is right on the main salmon in the wilderness area, and got on and met these guys. And they were from California. One was from the Midwest. Big gun guys, right? I mean, I got my first opportunity to shoot a 50 caliber. I know a lot of people are like, I'm not a gun guy, and so I don't. But this is an amazing thing to think that the people who carry the kind of weaponry around that they do, and it made you realize as I'm looking at this election coming up here, how many people are focused on from both sides, one or two main things, or only one or two things, and when you think about that as far as the election goes, I think this is a big deal. These folks would no more consider voting for Hillary, you know, no matter what Trump did. Why? Because of the gun issue, like solely. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that's a big voting block. That's an important point to a lot of people. And it isn't just a fundamental. It's an important point to me, and I don't have a gun. Why do I think it's such an important point to me? Because I think it's a statement of what the Constitution says I get to do
versus a statement of what the progressives, how they want to change my constitutional rights, because they know better than I do. And so that doesn't end at guns, does it? At all. So I was thinking about this with my new best redneck friends, and it was just an amazing, I don't want to call it an epiphany, but it was just an amazing thought that I was sitting there going, wow, this is a lot of people. This is a lot of people. It's a big issue for a lot of people. One that I think also will be, if you will, it will bring them out to vote. This is an important thing that says, you know, I don't care who's on the ticket. I got to vote. This is important. And I think it's one of those things that really is a driver. But anyway, it was interesting. It was an interesting week to get away. And I, of course, stayed tuned into the market. You can't help it. Well, after the first couple of days out in the wilderness area, you can't help it. But it's interesting. It's not just the Democratic convention this week. You look at what's going on globally. And you think about this from a news flow standpoint. All of this is all about the election. That was going to be it, right? We got the criminal and the reality TV guy. That's what we've got. And man, I'm going to wait for this whole election thing to shake out. I'm going to wait for Brexit to shake out. I'm going to wait for Europe to shake out. I'm going to wait for Greece to quit this. It's a annual event. We figure what's on the horizon and we bet against the market every year. Because again, we get back to this basic tenet, which is this: negativity sells, fear sells. And again, it's so important to understand this too, because because who doesn't want to be smart, right? I mean, we want to show off to a girlfriend, right? We want to show off because we're really smart. We can figure stuff out. We can do stuff. So we want to show off how smart we are. And if we sound really smart, then that's way better than like sounding dumb. I mean, we don't want to do that. But when we think about the intellectual arguments for why you should own stocks, you don't sound as smart as why, you know, when you're just rubbing your chin and it's really all bad and you just need to help people understand how bad it is. So we've got everything stacked against it. We're wired negative. All the news is negative. It all is. Good news doesn't sell. If it doesn't bleed, it doesn't lead. That's just so classic and so true. And as consumers of this noise, we consume in our minds that the more intelligent argument is the negative argument. Really? The negative case of the market is always more intellectually appealing. It always is. And who doesn't want to be smart? It doesn't matter. The bears can be wrong and have been wrong for our entire life. It makes no difference at all. We still walk around and go, oh, yeah, boy, gee, Wiz, really smart. He's really, really smart. You got to see the way he rubs his chin. He kind of gets that little look and his eyebrows bend down and stuff. He looks so smart. He knows all the bad stuff is just hiding out there. And it keeps people out of the markets. And we think that's smart. Crazy. But true and powerful, and we have to understand it. It's not enough to just say, yeah, that's the problem we've got, is news is negative, that's it. No, you're negative. You and I are. We're human, right? You just think about the simple little things, right, that we love the little cute little sayings and things like that, and how you feel in every moment of every day. How do you feel? How do you feel right now? It's a great day. Boom, we're excited about the day because it's our personal choice. Do we make that personal choice with our investments to walk in and say, you know, I just don't see the world ending here. Just don't see it. Just don't see it. We make that choice as to what we let in, especially with what kind of an emotion we put with it. It's our choice. It's our choice. I get to choose that. See, here's the thing, too. You know, for like 30 years, I was thinking about this as I was driving back, and I thought, this is just, what an honor, what an amazing life I've had. And it is. No BS, no rah-rah, just a simple knowing that I was born in America to a great family. I somehow found an amazing career. It found me. That I was just wired for, that I loved doing. And then I have this opportunity to teach. So the choice on a Saturday, when people say, well, gosh, how do you give up Saturdays all the time? Well, I don't have to. I don't have to. I get to. I get to do this. See, how is it? Is it always something like, oh, yeah, woe's me. Look at me, martyr. I mean, who gets to do this? Very few. Very few. Who gets to travel and see the best investment people, best minds? Right? I mean, it's just an amazing thing. Do I have to, or do I get to? Do I get to? And so, anyway, it's phenomenal as I look at this market and I see it just keeps rolling. But it's not supposed to. The election was here. It was supposed to put everything on pause. Just like Brexit. Just like Europe, part one, two, and three. Greece. The list goes on. You know, and I'm sure that this flu will be bad. I remember earlier in the year watching Jim Cramer just put his head on on the desk in his hand, and he's just like, oh, this just can't get any better now. Not until Ebola is taken care of. It just can't. It's just terrible. I mean, the panic of Ebola. Wow. And we take that for like, wow, I just can't wait to hear what, you know, Cramer says about, you know, whatever. Really? So that was actually, by the way, the head in the hand was the very day, the very moment, that morning, that the market bottomed over Ebola. Often the case. It's just on and on. We can't guess what the future is. I can just tell you this. It'll be up and down. It'll be different. There'll be things that are bad. There'll be things that are great. And if mankind continues to grow and the population continues to grow, the market will. And it'll have bumps. And I have no idea why we have to make so much of this all the time. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Glad you are here. I wish you were here as in on the phone, so please do give us a call. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. Money Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Hey, the second hour, we're going to be talking. I'm going to start off talking. Remember, we're kind of back to basics, right? I've been talking about that a little bit. And we talked a little bit last week about the difference between stocks and bonds. And when I'm talking basics, we want to get back to basics. Again, if you have something you want to shift and you want to talk about, please do let me know. That'd be great. And I'm happy to try to answer any of the basic questions. And if you prefer an email, that's fine. dave@petsofinancial.net. And if you think of something during the week, same thing. Shoot an email over. You can always pick us up over at petsofinancial.com as well. Articles, calculators for you to help you in your financial planning. And also podcasts, which are up and going. And I know we had troubles late last year and into this year, but they're up and going on. I think they've got everything fixed. So I think so. We think so. We'll wait for the next software crisis, but for now we've got it. So, hey, let's go to our friend Jim here. Jim, are you there?
Yes.
Good. Thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
You're welcome. I was just curious what sectors of the stock market you thought were good to invest in for the coming year.
Well, that's an interesting thought, and that's exactly I think that's the when you're looking for bargains, that's what you want to try to do. I'll tell you, one of the things that I've been saying wrong for a while is emerging markets, and I still think they're cheap, even though that is now taken over first place for this year. So emerging markets still look very attractive. Again, everything to me is relative. It's not saying the world is perfect, the world is growing like crazy, that emerging markets are fine. But at the dividend yields, the cash flows, and the price-to-earnings ratios of these companies is very, very attractive, especially combined with the growth rates that some of these countries have. So, again, emerging markets I would stick with, even though they are now doing very, very well year-to-date. So that's one area. The other area that's done very well this year that's still okay are high-yield bonds, and that's, again, but that's getting closer to, fair value. And I will talk more about this, Jim. I'm sorry, I'm just about out of time. I'll tell you what, let me talk about this at the beginning of the hour, and you guys hang in there. We'll be hour number two coming right up after Fox News. Hello, and welcome to hour number two of Money Matters. I'm Dave Pezzo, and of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. That's not the station, broker-dealers, all that. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. We're here to tell you that such and such a company had great earnings and is a rocket ship to the moon. And we're not going to pretend to be on any particular trend short-term that we maybe weren't on yesterday. I think about this as an example. What's happened with oil prices here, right? It's all about oil. I just heard this for months and months, particularly people like Cramer, just blah, 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 oil. Okay. Oil's down 20%. 20% as we hit all-time highs. I guess it's not about oil anymore somehow. It was, but it's not, and the reason why it's not, but it was, nobody explains. It just is, and then in hindsight, and then it's not. But we're going to pretend we're on some kind of a trading track here where it's all about whatever it is. We look around the room and see has a quick correlation, so it's all about that. Nonsense. You see, the thing is, the reason it's not just to make fun of that silliness. It's to understand how far that kind of noise takes us from the truth of our investing. And what I mean by that is, what are you trying to do? If it's something like, well, I would like to have a cost of living adjusted income all the days of my life, no matter how long I live. Yeah, that's kind of what I'd like. Then what in the world does any of that noise have anything to do with? It doesn't have anything to do with it. Nothing. Nothing. It's all about oil. All about blah, blah, blah. All about oil. And this is like intelligent commentary. I mean, I think you'd learn more about the market if you watched Entertainment Tonight and found out more about the whatever weird family we're going to talk about today. What is it you've done that you're famous? I'm just famous. Okay. And I want to know what the Kardashians are doing because that's pretty important. That would be embarrassing to me to know what the Kardashians are doing. Like, why? That's like spying on your neighbor. Ugh. Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, this is the kind of nonsense you hear every day. And it takes us further and further from the truth. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that at all. What we want to do is we want to think about things broadly, like what's cheap and what's dear. Jim called in at the end of the last hour, and I didn't have anywhere near enough time to answer the question. The question was this: what areas of the market are, in your opinion, cheap? And, of course, cheap is a relative term because it's rare when everything's cheap. Yeah, that's a definite moment in time, right? That's the 2008, right? I really call it the 2009 because I think that was the hardest part. Everybody talks about 08, and that's when it started. That's when it went down the most. But I'm telling you, in January and February till March 9th, when the market's going down, 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 that is really, that was a tough start to 09. Really hard. Everything was cheap, right? Everything was cheap. Everything's not cheap now. But it's a relative term because we have to put money somewhere. Well, we can put it in a rock, gold, silver, whatever, but it won't produce anything. Yeah, so gold and silver does well since the beginning of the year. Yay, yippee-ki-yay, woo-hoo! Who cares? I mean, really, who cares? So we're talking about real asset classes, real ones, where real money is going to go. And so to me, it's fairly straightforward. We have high-yield bonds. Is this the same Jim back? No, okay. Didn't know if I wanted, but try to make sure I answered his question. So we got the high-yield bonds. No, they're not a bargain, but relative to high-quality bonds, they sure are. There's still a little bit of room to go there. So in the income world where we're trying to juice some returns for income, it's okay. I prefer floating rate notes in that space too. Both are okay, but we've had such a big move in tax-free bonds. Everybody's in love with tax-free bonds. When everybody's in love with something, does that mean it is a good price? No, by definition, it's not a good price. It's not. It doesn't mean it won't keep going. It can, but it's not a bargain price. And that's the problem we're seeing now. The flows into high yield are just huge. It doesn't mean it can't run for a while. It has been running for a while. I mean, high yield's up like 12, 13% since the beginning of the year. Well, that's bonds, folks. That's a pretty good move. Pretty good move. As far as U.S., I'd focus on small cap. Okay? And then this one right here, and there's just not a lot. Really, there's just not a lot out there. Yeah, one little flyer area I would look at, and be careful here, please. If you mutual funds, ETFs only, spread it out. Don't play around with it. And you have got to sell at some point in time. People don't. This is the problem, right? I think I ought to be in biotech. And you can't get people to sell after they've gone up 100, 200, 300%. They won't sell. They won't sell. Just won't. They won't trim. They won't even trim any of it. Crazy, but they don't. So then they write it back down. Guess what we've had is a huge correction in biotech this year. Huge. End of last year, end of the beginning of this year. Very big move down. And yet they are the innovators of all the new medicines, right? It makes good sense to have some biotech in a portfolio. Good sense when you get opportunities like this. So if you want a specific sector, kind of a high flyer, mutual fund in the biotech space. Interests me a lot. That interests me a lot. Now, when we break this down further, community banks look pretty attractive. They're usually, these are the small ones. And so back to that small cap space again, that is an interesting area to me as well. Okay? Now, when we really think of it this broadly, and Jim, hang on, we'll get to you here in a minute. When we think of the foreign stocks, yeah, I don't want that. Precisely why? I know you don't want that, and people are underinvested globally. They usually are. But literally, you know, when you pull out those charts, you know, you've seen the color charts, you know, those little squares and, you know, all these different colors that are really to match up to each different sector in the market, right? So what's been bad? Emerging markets, I already said, those are, my dead favorites. But they're up big this year. But big off of a very, they're still cheap. But foreign broadly is too, and nobody likes it. The outlook is bad, and it just reminds me so much of John Templeton when he talked about this and tried to school people in this. Not scold, school. Because it's really hard. Investing is hard. It's super easy. You can't do anything, and if you do it right, you can't be wrong. I get that. But here's the deal. This is why it's hard. You're investing in places where the outlook is bad. That's when you're truly getting bargains. People don't want to do that. That's not what you do. You don't invest in bargains because the outlook is always bad when there are bargains. If there's lots of people in the at the auction bidding on things, it's fun, it's exciting, and everybody's having a good time. But if you're pretending you're getting a bargain, you're crazy. You want to go and you want to wonder what's wrong with you. How come I'm the only guy here? Nobody sees any value in houses in 2009. Yeah, that's true. They didn't. So when you show up at an auction for, say, a repossession, and there's lots of people there like there were in, say, 07 and 06, it's fun, it's exciting, and you're not getting one single bargain. Now, this is overly simple, but it really isn't when you stop and you think about what in the world are people doing. You can't invest in emerging markets. No. And I'm not picking on the strategists. They're all the same. They don't ever want to stand out there on their own. You have a rare investment manager that does that, somebody that can handle the heat, has been in the industry a long enough time that they can be wrong and not all the money leaves the room. But when you're talking about the J.P. Morgan, the Goldman Sachs, and the, you know, all of those analysts, yeah, you know, emerging markets, blah, 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 blah. And I'll just cough up the same garbage. It's the same stuff. Just here's my meaningless dissertation on why you can't invest in emerging markets. Okay, I got it. Okay, it's the same as the guy before and the guy before and the guy before, right? That's exactly why I'm saying this, and why I'm saying it in this long process is if you are looking for bargains, you can't go where people are telling you to go. You can't go to where the outlook is good. If you want bargains, you have to go where the outlook is bad. And that's what's hard. Everything else in life is the opposite of that. You don't look for people to become your partner in life. You don't look for people that have mental issues. You don't look for a career in an industry that is collapsing. You don't. You don't buy a piece of real estate where you think there's no hope that the world will ever come there. Not as an investment anyway. Maybe you buy it because you don't want the world to come there. I don't know. But the point is you're not doing this as an investment. You are with stocks because it's the only way you can get a bargain. So then that brings me to this, and that's foreign. Foreign anything. Nobody, you know, the outlook in Europe, it's slow growth. You know, I don't know. It's just, you know, America looks good. Best house in a bad neighborhood. Blah, blah, blah. Same stuff. All true. And misses the point. If you're thinking long term, and I don't mean the rest of your life, just longer term. And if you can, wow, to think the rest of your life. Yes. Oh, wow. I'm buying these really good bargains to produce more income over the years and decades because I got a good price today. Not worried about, you know, what's going to happen 6 months or a year from now. Not worried about that. Perfect. But for most people, we have to think out, what looks good over the next, say, 2 to 3 years? Only what's cheap, not what has a good outlook. Not what has a good outlook. You got to own some Google. You should own some Apple. Still, it's easier to own Apple and talk about it as being a bargain, I guess. But you should own some Google or Amazon. You got to have some of those super growth. Facebook, my goodness gracious, yeah. I know it's hard to buy those things. They're expensive. But you buy a few shares, and the years go by, and guess what? They just keep getting more expensive. But are they more expensive when they make gobs of money? You have to own some of the things that really are working. Yes. But if you're asking what is a bargain, it's not what anybody's talking about. It's not where everybody says there's a good outlook. It's just the opposite. Always has been. That's the trick, isn't it? Isn't it? Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Jim, thanks for calling, and thank you for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave. What's happening with you these days?
Hey, well, I just came back from my walkabout, so I'm very relaxed.
You know, speaking of the walkabout and everything, in general, people get too uptight over things, you know. Politics in general, people got to think, how is anything going to affect me, right?
Right.
Now, I'm sure even guns, I'm sure a lot of these people that like guns already have five AK-47s. And I'll bet that, you know, the Gestapo isn't going to come in and, you know, repossess those guns anytime soon.
No, I know, but the point is they want to be able to continue, and the Constitution says that you can't. And if they don't want to stop there, where else do they stop? Free speech? I guess they've done that. Apparently they're trying to stop that, too.
True, but what I mean is people shouldn't get too uptight.
Well,
I mean, it's like the negative thing. I mean, you know, you could be worried about Ebola or Zika if you want to be, or right. West Nile. But anyway, I mean, people should, you know, just, I don't know. I mean, the threat, the worry is much worse than the reality.
Always. That's what keeps people out of investing, for sure. When it comes to political things, I think people are more passionate, deeply passionate. I think people can understand from the standpoint of, for example, if you are anti-abortion, this is a huge emotionally, a deep emotional topic to you. So is guns, right?
True. The,
but one side or the other, these are deep, deep, deep emotional issues. I'm not going to argue the point that people aren't going to be passionate about those things. What they can't be passionate about is running their investments based on who gets elected and what's going on there. So I agree with you on that, Jim. I think that people who are very passionate about what if you will, their political issues.
Well, you know what's interesting too, and my advisor gave me a little sheet a while back that she's, you know, over a period of time. And you go back, and if you want to compare, like, Republican administration or Congress versus Democrat, you know, the stock market has done better during Democratic committees. But I wanted to mention the strategy, my strategy, and you know that I like individual stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And you would say that probably, you know, being consistent, putting money in the same amount over a period of time, probably in mutual funds, that's what most people do, and that's a good thing. You have like a manager to handle it.
Right.
Now, in my case, you know, I might find a stock that I like, that for some reason I really like, that's a good company that's been around a long time. And then, you know, I mean, these days, right now, I think trying to buy something would be chasing the market. It's high. And every so often there's a bit of a crash or a correction, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So you put in a really good buy order, you know, maybe 10% down, 15, 20, whatever. And then in my case, in the meantime, there's a mutual fund called, it's a Western Asset Interterm Municipal Fund. It's Bond Fund, I guess. And if you've got any extra money to save, you park it there,
mm-hmm.
right? You put it in there, and it pays a yield of about 2.5%, which isn't bad. And then if that buy order ever executes, you've got the money.
Right. Right, exactly. No, and that's true. And you think about how volatile the market is, but still, even within a good market, you're going to get bargains from time to time. I think about that just even this year.
You just got to be prepared for that, though.
You do, but you also have to be emotionally not just prepared. Like I have some money, or I like this particular company. You have to be emotionally prepared because when the market goes down 5%, it looks terrible, and everybody knows it's going to go down 10. So at 7 or 8%, you're still not a buyer, and if it does go down 10, it really looks bad. So there you are, knowing it's going to go down 15 or 20.
That's the whole thing. That's why you have a buy order.
Right. You put it in and let it execute if it
right.
wants to.
It executes no matter what.
Right.
And then you don't have any emotion. You don't have to pull the trigger. It will.
Right. 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 Absolutely. No, I agree. And I thought there's absolutely nothing wrong with that because you will occasionally get your price.
Right. Yeah. A while back, I mean, you know, I had a buy order on Foot Locker, you know. And I had it for a long time, and I was in the execute. I wasn't prepared for that, but I'm glad I did, you know. And now it's come up. So, I mean, that's a good way to do it, and you don't have to worry about, like you say, pulling the trigger or something like that. So
right. You have to contemplate, well, is it going to go lower or not? It's done. It's a done deal.
But you you know, you were talking about reality show. You were talking about the Kardashians. Well, Trump is the same thing. And unfortunately, I mean, actually, fortunately, I guess fortunately, Trump had better put up or shut up, you know. Coming up soon, he's got to be specific. He's got to start talking about something. He can't just expect to be coronated in the election.
No, I would agree with you, but at the same time, that's exactly what politics is. I heard somebody say that the other day was like, you know, he's going to have to, you know, he's got to be more specific. And I'm thinking, okay, so the specifics of Hillary's plan are?
Well, you know, maybe so, but at least apparently she's talking about it.
Talking about what?
Well, increasing jobs.
How? But again, we're asking specifics. I mean, that sounds great. We're going to increase jobs. She's never done a job. She's never created a job in her life.
Trump spends most of his time insulting people.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you there. I'm just saying that none of the politicians have a plan. That's part of running for office is as soon as you get specific, then they can rip holes in it.
True,
but pretending that Hillary is being specific on anything.
It's all perception.
Except that she specifically, you know, lost the emails. They just kind of erased them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't stand Hillary. I'd never vote for her. But like I say, I mean, you know, look forward to the debates. Now, up to this point, and this cycle has been going much too long. It's been going for over a year already with the, you know, preliminaries. So far, football, using a football analogy, this has been the regular season, right? Okay, now we get into the playoffs, because so far the two teams haven't come up against each other yet. So the playoffs will be the debates.
Yeah.
And assuming that Trump doesn't walk out or do something stupid like that, that will be what people can actually judge.
Yeah.
And see that there is, you know, hopefully he will do well, but she might cream his ass, you know. You
yep.
don't know.
Hey, it's up to Donald if he can keep his cool. He did fairly well in the other debates. We'll see what happens, but it's one-on-one now. Yeah.
But those were with, you know, with whatever, 16 other people. Calling people liars and this, that, and the other is not going to cut it all the time.
No, it won't. That's true. That's right.
Well, anyway, have a great day. And
you do.
And keep investing, and then pray a lot that things don't crash your mundo.
Okay. All right, Jim, thanks. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. It's with Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And if you prefer email, that's just fine, Dave, at PetsoFinancial.net. You know, it's funny. I have this little, just little statistic thing, this little note. I've carried it around forever, right? I've got some of this stuff, you know, in my little, just kind of a small binder I've got here that just carry and throw stuff into from time to time that intrigues me that I want to share. And some of the stuff just kind of finds its way in there. It's been rolling around for like 20 years, you know, tattered. I might get a new one or an updated one, things like that. But it's interesting when you look at it and you just look at some of the great thoughts of, you know, people like John Templeton, you know, Peter Lynch and others that are just great wisdom to think about. And they seem simplistic. And it always draws me back to this whole point. We overcomplicate everything. We really do. Like there really is some kind of magic formula of trading options. Or you can look at squiggly lines on that a stock has followed. And then you can draw circles and lines across it and then go, whoop-de-doo. You know what? I think I just figured out what is going to happen with Microsoft. It's going to go down because the squiggly line crossed the other squiggly line. Really? And we forget that they're businesses, and we look for some magic thing that will protect us from the normal downturns. And here's my point. This is a simple thing. markets decline about once every 5 years. Sorry, there's no more complication than that. It's what they do. And what's really bizarre to me is this in a normal, like, oh, the market's really bad. Like, what do we want to do when the market's down like 3%? We bail? Do you think you should? Do you feel like you should? Do we want to check in on our net worth statement a little more often? Because that makes us more interesting and fun and delightful people. Especially into a downturn, because we like to be cranky. And the point here is this, it doesn't even matter. The fact of Procter & Gamble or Johnson & Johnson or Exxon or Chevron or any of the dividend payers, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on of companies that year after year raise their dividends. What does it matter if it's at $50 a share or if it's at $45 or $40? Did they stop or reduce their dividends? No. Then what in the world does it matter? I want to freak out. That's what you have to admit. What I just really want to do is I want to look and I want to freak out. That's what I want to do. I want to have a bad day. Or I want to have a really good day based on a number. Why? What does that have to do with anything? It leads us so much further from the truth. And it's a simple thing. It's like you just simply have to have in front of you this whole thought. Like put it on your computer. Markets decline about once every 5 years. Meaning 20% or more. That's what they do. Corrections occur about just almost once a year. A correction defined as a market going down by 10% or more. Is what they do. That's it. That's all. They just do that. And we're totally free as human beings to be completely freaked out by totally normal things. Ah, the sun came up. Ah, my gosh, no, stop it. I can't believe it. Market corrected. Oh, no, it never does that. Yeah, it does all the time. But isn't there a way, like little stop-loss thingies, like I can do an equity index annuity and I can get all the upside? No. What planet are you from? You can't. So we try to dig and find and dig and dig and dig and dig. And if I could only be smarter about the market, no, you just need to be better controlling of ourselves because markets decline about once every 5 years. And they correct about once a year, 14 months to be exact. That's what they do. Which is why you have opportunities to continually buy or hold, stay. It's okay. But to constantly be fussed about normal market movements or try to explain, it's all about oil. Yeah, it's all about oil. It's all about Europe. It's all about Greece. It's all about Brexit. Really? And then poof, what's it about now? Well, it's about the elections. Yep. Psh. It's about the Fed. As soon as they leave, it's just QE's done. Boom, dead. It's about the Chinese. Man, if they do stop buying our bonds, that... Oh, they did? And they sold the $1 trillion back? Yep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but you ought to see about the four blood moons and the Shemitah coming, man. Or the end of the dollar, or the new global dollar, or the whatever it is. Just make stuff up, and they do. And then you have to just say, I wonder if that's all true. I wonder if that's true. No, we don't have to say that. I say, yeah, well, maybe some of that's true. I don't know. Because markets decline about once every 5 years. And we'll have corrections all the time. That's the cool thing. The great thing about a 10% correction is, hey, I might get a 25% correction on a stock I've been wanting to buy or a sector I've been looking at. The dividends don't change. Cash flows don't change. Corporations don't change that much in value, not in real value, but price. We could be freaked out by it, or it's opportunistic. But bearing in mind, keeping in mind, always, that it's normal. It's what they do. certainly can ease the pain, concern, not pain, the concern of normal market declines. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. That would be your serious cue to give us a call. There's nobody on the line. We'd love to visit with you. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. It's with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580-KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Dave at PetzoFinancial.net is our email address. Right now, let's go to Devery. I think it's Devery. Is that right?
Yes.
Perfect. Devery, thanks for joining us. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thanks. I listened to your broadcast, but I got delayed, cleaning the house this morning. And I had some questions for you. I mean, I've kind of noticed and experienced the up and downs with the market.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a single mom, and so, I get nervous about risk and stuff. So you'd had some comments early on about the real asset classes and high-yield bonds. Would you mind kind of talking through those a little bit more for me? And maybe if, you're a single mom and living on one income, what might be good directions?
Well, first of all, okay, so how old are you then?
46.
Okay, so we got a long ways to go till retirement, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so from a risk perspective, I just got to tell you just got to get over it. But that's the point sometimes of just simply saying something like, markets decline about once every 5 years. That's just life. They don't go away. They don't go to zero. They go down, and you just need to be buying all the time. So the only thing that you need to worry about now is buying and figuring out how to put money away month in and month out, year after year. That's how you'll get there. Now, I'm not saying we can't talk about this, so I'll circle back to the high-yield bonds. But you don't want to be trying to figure out what's cheap or what's not in the market. That's a refinement of your portfolio. It's not saying you should take a large amount of money out of whatever else you're doing, right, in your portfolio and move that to high-yield bonds. It's just a simple question of saying, hey, if I wanted to own any bonds, where or what kind should I own? That's my opinion, is it should be high yield floating rate notes. But generally speaking, the core of every portfolio, no matter what the world looks like, should be the great corporations of the world that continue to raise their dividends year after year, decade after decade, regardless of the economy, regardless of who's in office, regardless of whether we're leaning towards socialism or not, blah, blah, blah. Whatever fears or worries there are, these companies continue to raise their income to their shareholders year after year. And that's why we talked about them, the Procter & Gamble's, the Johnson & Johnson's, and so on. That's not that you should go buy those companies. Buy funds, mutual funds, that own those companies, okay? Now, when I say get over it, I guess what I'm saying is I think we talk so much about risk in the short term that we don't think about this in the long term. If you are willing to trade off your short-term security for your long-term security, that's a problem. People are so worried about whatever it is that's splashed in front of them and called news that they don't think about what they could be doing to their long term, meaning 20 years from now, which is what you should be focused on, 20 years from now. So buy stocks. Don't worry about high-yield bonds. Now, the high-yield bonds, though, they do look attractive relatively to any other bond out there. And so I think it has some intriguing characteristics right now that make me less worried about it. And as far as that goes, buying stocks is the way to, has always been, is the way to financial freedom, not bonds.
Okay.
Stocks. And so, again, I'm not saying, grow up and get over it. Okay? But in a way, yep. I'm saying, you know what? This is what it is. This is the price of admission to the greatest investment, the one that will lead you to financial freedom, that nothing else can. There is nothing else that comes even remotely close to what the great corporations of the world, that you know their products, you buy their products, and they continue to return. You get the dividends, you reinvest them, and if you're lucky enough, you catch down times, and then you can buy even more. That's the focus. It's not trying to figure out what sector you need to be in.
No, I hear you. That's good advice. You know, it's hard as a single mom, so it's good to hear that.
It is hard, and don't you worry about it. You just have to, hey, if there's no future, there's no future. I mean, yeah, you hear people talk about all the time, well, how would I, you know, manage around a complete meltdown? I don't know. If a dollar isn't a dollar, I don't know what you do. I don't know what we're going to do. Do you think they're going to have a little weighing scale at Albertsons that you flake off little pieces of gold so you can get your loaf of bread? I don't think so. I don't know what people are talking about when they're like, well, you know, if this happens, it's going to be a total collapse of the entire system. Okay. I don't know how to manage around that. So, because if all the great corporations, all of their cash and assets and everything is worth zero, my best guess is mine is too. It's worth nothing as well. So I don't know what the argument is in regards to that. I think that we've been through so many difficult things. The difference is this. If we do not know what the future brings, therefore today's problems have not yet been resolved. It does not mean they are bigger problems than World War II, than the Soviet Union, than a 21% interest rate that we had in 1980. That was hard. That was like truly hard. But we resolved that problem. So we take the emotion of that problem and we set it aside. And then we grab all the emotion off of that. We go, yeah, but what about the unsolved problems? They're real. I don't know why we have to figure out how they're going to take us out and or that they are bigger problems than we've already dealt with in the past. I don't think they are. And so you just have to have faith. That's all. That's all. Devery, I don't. You just have to have faith that there is a future. And what are you going to do? Put it in a tin can? Wait for a sign from God that that's the moment to invest and trust that the world is fine?
Well, you're right. I believe in our future. I mean, I've seen it with my family and seen the cycles, and you're right. It does go in cycles. So, you know, I've got to be like everybody else. Believe and have faith and stay the course.
Exactly. And you don't even have to believe in a glorious future, just a future. That's all.
Well,
I think it'll be glorious, but, hey, you don't have to believe that. You don't have to go with an optimist like me.
Wonderful. You've made me feel a lot better and given me some things to think about and some stuff I probably need to look at and talk to my broker about changing.
Good. Devery, I appreciate it. And you just, do what you can, control what you can. That's all you can do.
Absolutely.
And that is saving money, investing, and thinking long term, and don't overreact. You can do that. We can't know the future, but you can control yourself.
Yep. I'm the one that controls my destiny.
You got it. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. You have a great day. Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-KIDO. Wayne, hang tough. We got to take a quick break. I owe a break here. So you'll be up to bat next. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. With Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, that's our number. And again, if you miss anything or you want to catch something, you want to forward something, you can always grab our podcasts. Those are usually there by Monday. They should be downloaded by Monday. So if you miss something, you want to catch it again, then real easy to do. And also in the Apple Store, but as well as on our website. PetsoFinancial.com. Let's go to Wayne. Wayne, thank you for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Dave, I certainly appreciate your comments every week, and I have a simple question that you may want to elaborate on. Seems to me I heard not long ago someone say that a mutual fund should not invest in any more than 4% in any one company. Is that congruent with your thinking?
No, not necessarily at all. This is a tricky question, Wayne. This is a fascinating question, really.
Okay.
I think the best managers are ones that they're not necessarily concentrated to the point where they own only, 10 stocks, okay, in the whole portfolio. Uh-huh. But, you know, I don't know that I really believe that people can find 250 great stocks. I would rather uh-huh. they had 50, you know, something like that. 50 or 60, and that leads to a little bit of concentration, especially if a stock has done very well. And let me give you a quick example. Let's suppose they came and they bought, like many did, Google, maybe not at the IPO, or Apple, and they bought these companies, and then they grow, and they become they go from 2% to 4, you know, to 5, to 6. Uh-huh. Now, if it gets to 10, they probably should trim some, right? But okay. I'm okay as long as the story is good. Do I think a company comes in, and they typically don't, and say, this is such a great bargain, we're going to put 25% in this one thing. And that's when you get into trouble, like mutual funds do when they bought one company. Was it Sequoia owned some massive amount of Valiant? It was like 20% or something. Well, yeah. Valiant obviously went in the toilet, and that just wiped them out. It wiped out the whole thing. So you can't be that concentrated, but having an idea and a few stocks that you feel really good about, I have no problem with managers owning 5 or 10%, of those few that they really like, or even concentrated. Now, then the point there is you don't just have that manager. You have other managers that have their more concentrated bets as well, but they're different. And so that when somebody says I should never have more than 4%, I usually that number is somewhere around 5. But that would be for you personally, 5% in one single company. Not a fund, but one single company. You in your entire portfolio, you. So if somebody has 10 in their mutual fund, I'm okay. As long as for you personally, that's 5% or less of your whole portfolio.
Mm-hmm? If I have multiple mutual funds, and each one has, let's say, 5% in the same company, am I still okay?
You're still okay because you have 5 all over, and you probably don't have it all. But the answer is yes, you're fine. You're fine.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Okay, very good.
Wayne, thank you so much. What a great question. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great day. Bye-bye. And we are just about out of time. Again, if you have anything on the basics, we'll get back to basics next week. We just had a number of other questions. I hope you all have a wonderful and safe weekend. We'll look forward to talking with you next week.